This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at UH1.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff Jarrett.
And this is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk Rumble. Now it's live.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast, NXT edition, with me, Al Fakador, Laurie Blake, and I'm joined by Chopper Pete Quenelle.
Hello.
Today we're talking about one of the weird things that happened on NXT this week with the kidnapping of Raul Mendoza and who could possibly be behind it. And we'll be talking about the picture becoming clearer for what's happening at NXT TakeOver Tampa Bay. Here's the show. But let's start with what I thought was the weirdest segment and almost the segment that passed everyone by in NXT this week. Like, it was a very dramatic show. There was a lot going on and a lot of really, really good stuff in it, as usual for NXT. But this one little tidbit happening to somebody so sort of down the card.
The pecking order.
Raul Mendoza. He has a match against Kushida this evening, which he's been scheduled to lose. Kushida does the rolling arm bar off the top and taps him out. It's a pretty good little sprint. It's like a bit of back and forwards. There's a lot of Kushida doing cartwheels and kicks and that kind of thing. And Raul does some dives to the outside, which is quite fun. But ultimately, Kushida picks up a very easy victory here. Mm-hmm. Slowly starting to reposition him as a credible threat in NXT.
Yeah.
You then have a clip after Mia Yim's match where she's outside. It's Mia Yim walking. It's like moments ago.
And she's just talking to herself, being like, this is my time. I've been working for it. I'm great. I'm Mia Yim. That's basically what she said.
Never mind Raquel Gonzalez. And then we pan round and two masked, suited luchador guys in like golden gear leave a Hummer.
It's like a four by four, isn't it? Yeah.
And they bundle Raul Mendoza into the car.
Yep.
What happened there?
And then they just drive off.
Yeah.
And me and him was just like, huh, that's unfortunate. And didn't try to help in any way, shape, or form.
Happens all the time where I'm from. I'm the rose that grew from concrete. That's and it was a really weird little thing. So like, but I thought what was intriguing about it is that it's got shades of the Dark Order, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, weird lucha gimps turning up and bundling people off seems to be a very Dark Order thing, forcing people to join.
Totally.
And then there are a few names sort of lurking around in NXT that then that means this could be four, because we've got the coming apocalypse promo stuff, the doomsday stuff, that seems to be suggesting Killer Cross with the TikTok and that, and all, like obviously loads of crosses in those promos
totally.
As well. You've got King Cuerno, who's been reported to have signed with WWE. He's not been officially announced as having signed with WWE.
I don't know if he's been officially announced. Maybe he has. I don't remember. But I know that either it's... I don't think it's been reported by WWE, but it's been reported by very reputable sources that he has, in fact, signed.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the plan is for him. I don't know if they have anything for him in creative or they're just holding off for a visa or whatever it is of why he's not debuted yet. But there's any number of reasons why he hasn't yet, but this seems like it could very well be the start of some sort of King Cuerno type thing, because there's Luchador Mask, that's already a link that puts him with it, and this seems like...
If they do an Agent Smith Luchador invasion, I'm going to be so cross.
That would be hilarious, and it would prove that they watch WrestleTalk.
Oh yeah,
which is okay. We already know they do anyway, but it'll be, you know, further confirmation. Mm-hmm. But I really think that you're right with this, because you just mentioned it in the office, because I didn't pick up that this could be King Cuerno, because I kind of forgot, funnily enough, that he was actually coming to NXT. But then when you mentioned, oh, it's King Cuerno, I was like, it totally is King Cuerno. Mm. These just feel like, these people weren't important. They're just wearing luchador marks. They're in suits. They're not particularly vibrant characters that you could recognize anywhere, but they're recognizable enough to be someone's goons. So they could totally be King Cuerno's goons, and he's trying to... And why would they target Raul Mendoza, of all people?
The Luchadors.
The Luchadors, right? So maybe he is trying to take over, have this kind of Lucha faction that he's starting to, you know, brainwash people into, or whatever it may be. There's loads of different ways they can go from it, and I'm quite excited for it. I think King Cuerno is my number one pick for who it could be.
Yeah, I quite like the idea that it's like a Luchador-style mafia crime boss syndicate thing of, like, you know, suited Luchadors. Because that's the thing you don't get very often in WWE. WWE likes their Luchadors to come out and say the word Lucha over and over again while pointing in the sky and holding piñatas and spinning little things. They really like to ham up the Luchadorness of Luchadors.
They just love to have fun.
But there are so many like branches of character, and I think Lucha Underground did a very good, if slightly soap opera-y job, of exploring the different aspects of being a Luchador and having very different characters. Like going from like high-flying baby faces to really monstrous heels to slightly sinister underworldy heels to crime bosses. They had lots of different branches of this kind of what seems to be in WWE's eyes one character.
Yes, you are Luchador.
You jump around and you're a Luchador.
Exactly.
And that is your thing. So like, I think having a masked character who is using it as a way to hide their identity and to control others could be a really interesting factor. I mean, obviously, it has huge shades of the Dark Order.
Yes, and massively so.
Maybe it's a jibe at AEW. Maybe it's a way to be like, well, your one's not really panned out perfectly so far, has it? Because most people have been quite down on the Dark Order until they started doing the Join Dark Order promo packages, and that's when it sort of slightly turned around, and then obviously the whispers started of, is it Raven, is it Brody Lee, is it Matt Hardy? And that's when people get invested, because they're like, well, if it's going to pay off at something, then I'm actually bothered. Mm-hmm. But this could be NXT being like, well, we can just do it better. Like,
yeah, exactly.
You know, we've got Raul Mendoza, we've got Joaquin Wilde, we've got all these guys knocking around who don't really have anything on. So, and they were just lumping Mendoza and Wilde together anyway. So now lump them together under a big boss guy, and suddenly you've got a little faction going on.
Exactly, yeah. And then it could be join the Lucha, not brothers. Nope, that's taken. The Lucha people.
The Lucha Triangle.
The Lucha Triangle, that's what it is. I think if it's not going to be, like you said, this could very well be that kind of jab at Dark Order. And if it's not going to be King Cuerno, something that was brought up in the office as well was that this could have been the storyline they had in place for Matt Hardy, because there was a load of talks of Matt Hardy, while his WWE contract was expiring, he's been having talks about potentially going back to NXT as kind of a perk of re-signing with WWE, which we spoke about last week. So maybe this was the storyline they had in place for Matt Hardy, that now that he's actually gone from WWE, they've just gone, well, we'll give this storyline to someone else because it's already in place. We can kind of maybe reskin it a little bit. So maybe it was going to be Matt Hardy's own Dark Order in NXT, which they've now just taken and gone, well, we can just give that to someone else. So it's still having that kind of jab at AEW, be like, we can do it better. We don't even need Matt Hardy for this, and we can make a better Dark Order than what you've got. Or it could just be someone completely different that we've not even thought of yet.
Yeah.
It could be Killer Cross. I don't know.
It could be Killer Cross having an army of luchadors. I feel like King Cuerno feels like...
Kona Reeves.
Feels like, oh my God. No. They would have come out in like mink coats or something and been like, it's the finest.
Yeah.
I think Matt Hardy's an interesting one to say that this was a pitch for, because I guess like AEW have been so heavily teasing that the Exalted One is Matt Hardy, and Matt himself has been teasing it. It kind of almost feels like now it's been teased so much and not happened yet that it could actually just be a swerve, like a major swerve, because they teased Raven for a bit and now they're teasing Matt Hardy.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that most likely in my head for AEW suggests that Brody Lee is going to be the exalted one because he's not so far been involved
Absolutely.
In the teasing. But then, like, the thing with Matt Hardy is even he said it's all still up in the air. Like, mm-hmm. you know, Young Bucks have literally turned up at his house
yes.
in a video.
Yeah.
And it, so it seems like the AEW thing is basically confirmed. But this week he was saying to, I think it was Sports Illustrated, and I'll get the quote. He said, I've spoken with Impact and I spoke with the NWA. I had a great conversation just this week with Triple H. This interview was like 4 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure where I'm going to go from a character perspective. From a character perspective, I want to go to an Arcadia. That's where I can take the second coming of Broken Matt and build upon it. I need a canvas where I can paint and collaborate and listen.
So he's basically saying...
Matt's back on a brand new mission.
So he's basically saying, I want creative control of my character.
Exactly.
Pretty yeah. much exactly what
but
he's
then,
saying.
But then, you know, if WWE offered him that,
totally.
You could, if you offered him that and money,
yeah.
which they have,
yeah,
you know, he could stay.
And I think he does have a very strong emotional connection with WWE, and I do think he wants to stay there, but he wants to be Broken Matt more than he wants to stay in WWE.
Exactly, and he said, you know, and he said he's very good friends with the Young Bucks and obviously like, wants to go there and work with them, and it's a brand new opportunity, and it's like, you know, there are other people he knows going mm-hmm. there and doing better than ever before. So, like, there is the option to go there, do stuff that's slightly different, and not have to get hit in the head with chairs by Randy Orton multiple times.
Yeah.
You know, or come out as like Team Extreme Matt Hardy, which must feel like, if you said to me now, dress up like your teenage version, I'd be like, well, I don't want to.
I don't want to have my jeans around my ankles, thanks.
Yeah, I don't want to wear the whatever those, like he wears fishnet tops and stuff. Like, the Hardy Boys gear was so weird, man. It was so weird. But like, I think it's interesting if it could be a Matt Hardy story, because I feel like a broken Matt Hardy with a gang beneath him capturing lower level NXT guys mm-hmm. and forming a cult is a very interesting idea. And
totally.
And NXT obviously has history of doing cult style storylines with the Wyatt family,
mm-hmm.
Which was brilliant in NXT.
And even like Anarchist, like Sanity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that kind of, it's not necessarily a cult, but it's that kind of darker.
Yeah.
Anarchistic, culty kind of vibe with them. So they've done it plenty of times in the past. I think, yeah, having Matt Hardy at the front of it, and especially because they could be having just the Luchador mask, that could even be a swerve to make you think we're dealing with Luchadors, and they targeted Raul Mendoza because we're dealing with Luchadors.
King Cuerno.
But we're not, because we've got Matt Hardy instead. It could be a complete swerve, and we're going the other direction.
It's one of those things where this little vignette leaves open so many interpretations to what could be going on. I think personally, it's King Cuerno, and mm-hmm. I think they'll probably do a Luchador thing because WWE does only see Luchadors as their own little bracket.
Yeah,
and totally. That's pretty much how they run things. But like, I do feel like if it was a story for Matt Hardy. I think it's not a story for Matt Hardy anymore. I think it might have been part of the pitch to be like, you can literally do everything you thought you were going to do creatively over in AEW, but here. Like here, we've literally laid the groundwork. It's all on the table. This is all that could be happening. And then he goes, well, actually, no, I'm going to go and do it at AEW because I promised them I'm going to do that. So they just go, well, we've got the story now, so we might as well run it with someone else.
Exactly, yeah. I think that is, it's either going to be that, or outright, this is a story they had for King Cuerno. I think either way, it's going to be King Cuerno.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see who else it could be, really. Unless it's someone completely new that we have no idea. They've even signed with WWE yet or mm-hmm. something like that. A complete swerve. I don't think it's going to be a repackaging of anyone. It's not going to be the Iconics or anything like that. It's going to be...
What if it was Iconics?
That would be quite something. So I think King Cuerno is probably number one choice. King Ooh. Cuerno.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So that was just one little tidbit of what happened on NXT this week. But the other stuff that happened was kind of crazy, because this was an NXT episode that emanated from the Performance Center.
Indeed.
Instead of Full Sail, because Full Sail are having their like Hall of Fame ceremony this week, in which Bret Hart will be attacked. Did you know that Bret Hart got attacked at the Hall of Fame?
I had no idea.
Unbelievable.
What?
Crazy stuff.
Yeah,
and then, so they have a fan appreciation night at the Performance Center. I don't understand what was fan appreciation about it.
It was an NXT episode. Yeah. At the Performance Center.
Because it wasn't even really a Performance Center appreciation night.
No.
Because Johnny and Champa
wrecked it,
didn't they? what I liked about this episode, though, is that it set up more of a clearer picture of what's happening at Tampa. Like, we got little influences recently where we had Dream's sort of master plan that made no sense in my head came to fruition last week, where he managed to lock himself in a cage with Adam Cole. This week, though, he says out and out, Cole, it's you I want. Yep. The rest of this was just 4-on-3-on-2-on-1 on numbers, baby. Cole, I want you.
Yes.
And then you get Ciampa and Gargano finally sort of like, obviously we've had the Johnny heel turn on Ciampa, as the really only moment of this feud of the two of them interacting. And I didn't think that shot with the NXT title that led to the heel turn was a bit clumsy and a bit slow.
Yes.
And this moment on this show where they actually faced off in the Performance Center and brawled all around it felt like the proper reignition of that feud.
Yes.
And it felt like we were suddenly transported back like a year and we're just like, oh, man, like these two are so good together, and I can't wait to see them have a match now. Finn and Walter seems like it's sort of on lock for TakeOver as well. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if they're going to do TakeOver Dublin instead of TakeOver Tampa Bay, but I would assume Tampa Bay, and then Finn Balor could be UK champ.
That would be great.
In Dublin.
Yes. Yeah, that'd be great.
Which kind of gives that show the big kind of boost it might need. Mm. That is if everything's not cancelled. and then we have Tegan Nox, Mia Yim, and Chelsea Green now on lock for the ladder match. So that's kind of up in the air of who the last three spots in that will go to. But you've got to assume Io Shirai has to be in there. Like, she is literally the jumpy one. Casey Catanzaro, in my head. Candice LeRae is a good option, I think.
Yeah. She has a qualifying match next
week. Oh, Candice does with Candice. Somebody. Somebody unimportant, which means that Candice is in the match. So we've got Candice. We've got, I think Io will end up in it.
Yes.
And then maybe Bianca.
Possibly Bianca. But well, Bianca Belair is actually going to be having an NXT Women's Championship match against Rhea Ripley at MSG at a house show. And like, oh, a special championship match. It's like, I wonder who's going to win that.
Yeah. Stop hyping matches that are happening later and then saying there are other matches for a similar stake, because there is no way Bianca Belair is winning that match.
No.
Charlotte came to NXT this week. She's been on NXT 3 times recently. She came to NXT this week to do a figure four around the ring post. Callback much.
She looked quite good.
Yeah, and it looked really good. But then, like, she's basically injured Rhea Ripley.
Yep.
So, actually, thinking about
actually,
it, she's injured Rhea Ripley's leg. So if Rhea Ripley plays up the leg in the Bianca Belair match, you could hand the match to Bianca Belair.
That'd be weird.
And then Charlotte and Bianca would have the match.
And if they wanted to do a triple threat, I could see that. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be Charlotte versus Bianca at WrestleMania. I don't think. I don't think there's any way that could happen.
No.
No. Because I think the house show is only on the 22nd or 23rd or something like that. So that only gives them, like, what, 2 weeks
to
before Mania?
Bianca and
that would be way too
rushed. It's the kind of swerve they'd like, though, because how many more showdowns with a punch can they do between Charlotte and Rhea? Because these two have interacted quite a lot, actually, since Charlotte, said, I'm cashing in the Rumble win to take on Rhea Ripley. Like, they've actually had a lot of face-to-face time and a lot of brawling.
Yes.
So I wonder what the next step of the story is.
I don't think there's going to be one. I don't think there is a next step. I think it's just going to be, these two really don't like each other. They just constantly are fighting.
I know, but you've got to do something more. We've already done, like, we're all basically at Pull Apart Brawl, and we've got weeks left.
You say got to. This is WWE. They don't have to do anything. They can just be like,
nothing.
We'll just do the same.
Yeah, nothing
for
a
couple
of weeks.
See if it works. Yeah. But I don't think they've been hyping Rhea way too much. She's been appearing on the main roster. I don't think there's any way they're going to throw all that out to just be like, and now Bianca Belair. Remember her from the Rumble? But it's definitely going to be Rhea versus Charlotte. So I don't think there's any way Bianca's going to win that house show match. But the interaction between Charlotte and Ripley on this show I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah, I loved it.
I really like them getting into a brawl. Charlotte came out on top, hit the big boot, figure four around the ring post, was really, really cool.
It's funny because it swaps backwards and forwards as well. It's quite nice, the interaction between them two, because they keep doing it on two shows a week. You get Raw where Charlotte's actually quite over and people are like, who are you, Rhea? And then she does something and people are like, oh, that's cool. And then on NXT, Charlotte turns up and they're like, you don't even go here.
Yeah.
Like,
go back to Raw.
And then Rhea's really over. I think it's quite nice that, like, they both legitimately can kind of coexist as badass baby faces. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Charlotte is playing a Flair. It's a different character. And I stand by that. It's a Flair. But you have two people who aren't really, they're not being dastardly to each other. They just want to get at each other. There's no cheating involved. It's just, you know.
I guess so.
There's cheap shotting.
Yes.
But it feels like a Austin style build of like, it's more just like every time they do something, you're like, well, that's cool. I like that. It's not just like, oh, that's how scummy, how awful.
There's no like.
It's about prestige rather than about like, you know, dastardly tricks.
And they definitely don't set out to intentionally injure someone, like, you know, wrapping their leg in a chair and stamping on it or anything like that. Charlotte would never do that. She's such a clean, good baby face, right?
She doesn't mind. She can do what she likes. But this thing has not been back referenced, has it, really?
Like, exactly! So what was the point? She's such a heel. I hate her.
Well, I guess that's the thing. So that means Bianca and Rhea are both going into a match. Into this Madison Square Garden match with injured legs from Charlotte.
Yeah, that's true.
So actually,
that's just Charlotte's
thing. Very even Stevens. It's anyone's game. That's what it is.
Could really be anyone.
So on the front of other things that happened on the show that set up Tampa Bay, you had Velveteen Dream's promo with Adam Cole, which I thought made little to no sense.
Correct.
It was a riddle that he didn't know the answer to because he was like, there are four, I see four little guys in the ring.
One, two, three, four.
Three eyes looking at one man. One heart, one soul, one spirit.
It
was mental.
It was a strange promo.
Because then he was like, you know, I put your family on my tights, but that didn't mean nothing. And he chucked the tights away. Roddy Strong, you're not important to me. And it's like,
which still doesn't make sense because Velveteen Dream's thing is putting things on his tights. That's what he does to mess with people's minds. And he's like, doesn't matter. It's just tights. It's like, way to undersell your entire gimmick. The whole thing you've been doing for like 3 years. Like, geez. It was very strange. He's like, this doesn't matter anymore. Cole, NXT title. It was like, that seemed like a really ham-fisted way to get to where you want to get to.
Yeah. I think the plan should have been more genius.
Yes.
Like, there needed to be more to the plan to get to. I'm excited for the match.
Totally.
I just think the way we've gone about getting there has been a bit silly.
Yes.
And like, maybe he should have said, really, like, at some point you've got to acknowledge the fact that, like, Roderick Strong, yeah, he injured you and he took you out for ages with that drop off the truck. But he was only doing it under the orders from Adam Cole. And
just
saying, like, that's what was missing in this promo. It's like, it's cool that you're going like, yeah, well, like, it's actually always been about the NXT Championship, and that's what I'm looking at with all five of my eyes or whatever it is. Like, but really, I'm in this for two reasons. One is the championship, and the other one is because you're the ringleader, and you tell these goons what to do. So I only got injured because of you, and not really Roddy, because Roddy doesn't matter.
Yes.
That makes sense, because it wasn't Roderick Strong's choice to chuck him off a thing. It was Adam Cole doing it.
Exactly, yeah.
And I think that would build a better feud here. That would make more sense and make this feel less confused.
Yes, yeah.
Because I think that he comes back and he attacks all the Undisputed Era, obviously then goes after Roderick Strong, then ends up in the cage match with Strong, then swerves and is like, no, it's Adam Cole now. So it makes me wonder, did they not know what they wanted to do for TakeOver?
It's possible, really. I don't know if they had other plans in place for the NXT Championship match, and they were like, I can't do that. Maybe they wanted to have something with either Gargano or Ciampa or Balor, and they were like, no, we're not going to do it. We're going to have Ciampa and Gargano. Gargano's going to turn.
The feud,
we'll finish that feud. We're going to have Balor go after Walter instead. So I guess we could do Dream, but it seems like it was more of a last-minute decision with that, because I understand Dream wanting to get back at the Undisputed Era because they're the ones who put him on the shelf, but that felt like it was kind of a line under it. We had the cage match, we're like, right, that's the end of that, him getting back at the Era, and that's when he did the swerve to go after Cole instead. So I don't know whether that was kind of, not an audible, but that was made kind of in that week leading up to it, where they just said, actually, we need an NXT Championship picture. We could have Dream, he's already involved with the Undisputed Era.
Yeah.
Let's have him do the swerve in the cage, which was a great swerve. It was a great moment in the cage to have him, you know, drop Strong out and then be like, just kidding, it's Cole.
I thought that was a cool finish.
It was a great finish, but it just needs to have that substance behind it of that logic of why it now doesn't matter to get back at Roderick Strong anymore.
Yes.
Which kind of felt a bit confused this week. But I am still very much looking forward to Dream Cole at TakeOver. I'm really liking the rest of the card. Like you said, we had had a promo for Walter, and we had Finn Balor holding up a passport, being like, I'm not going to get coronavirus, hopefully.
I'm coming home, and I might not be coming back. You know, it's dangerous to fly back now, because you might not be able to go back for 2 weeks.
Yeah,
so you might miss TakeOver just by quarantine.
Exactly, yeah. And 30-day travel ban. Let's hope that Ireland and the UK doesn't get
admittedly, he's already filmed it and he's gone back, so it's fine.
But so kayfabe, man.
Yeah, I know.
So Balor Walter, there could be no build for that match, and I'd be my favourite match of the night. Like, I'm so into that match. I'm so ready for it. Balor's, I don't care.
Balor's got to win that match.
Balor's got to win,
he's
man.
He's got to win that
he's
match.
He's got to win, because otherwise no one else can beat Walter. Like, realistically, until you build someone of Balor's caliber, Balor's caliber, say that five times fast.
Balor,
then no one can really beat Walter.
Yeah.
Because the only person who could beat Pete Dunne was a star the caliber of Walter. Who's going to beat Walter? Because Pete Dunne couldn't do it. So it's got to be someone like Balor, right?
Well, I think Balor makes sense, because I think clearly this feud is the crossover feud of the month.
Yes.
And then the month before, it was Kushida and Walter. And then before that, it was, or sort of in between that, it was Undisputed Era and Imperium.
Yes.
There has to be an NXT UK crossover feud now every so often.
And because, Devlin with the Cruiserweight.
Because of the BT Sports stuff. So they need a couple of champions who are going to appear on the American show to drive interest in NXT UK and in the takeovers that they're putting on. I think Balor makes the most sense to win, because then you've got an Irish champion for TakeOver Dublin who's going to come out as a main roster star who went back to NXT, turned heel, became one of the hottest things in the brand, and is now the champion.
Yes.
In his home country. He's going to get perfect. A massive pop. It'll be unbelievable. Also on this show, we've got Damian Priest attacked Keith Lee after Cameron Grimes' hat took a terrible tumble from the ring post.
How has the hat got so over?
Medics! Medics! Get the medics! Like, the hat has fallen!
As soon as the hat dropped to the floor, the whole crowd were like, oh no, the hat!
I love it. I do actually like that. But
okay, I still hate the hat. Yeah. I like the gimmick. But if it was a different hat, I'd be okay with it.
But it's funny, because it just goes to show how, like, you can do an object getting over without it being Eric Rowan's mystery cage of wonders.
Yeah.
That then they go,
it's
an animatronic spider. Mm. And then next week they're like, they're not even calling it a spider. They're not even mentioning it. And then Drew just kills it.
Kills the thing in the cage. Whatever's in there, we don't know.
Yes,
we do.
It was a spider.
It's a spider.
Yeah, yeah. But then the hat falls off the ring by itself, basically, and mm-hmm. everyone goes nuts.
Not the hat! No! It was great. But Keith Lee didn't even turn heel for me. It was great, because he pushed Cameron Grimes into it, so really, it was all Grimes' fault.
Exactly.
God, I got to protect the hat, man.
That's how Keith Lee turns heel, though. He crushes
totally.
The hat.
Yeah.
That's it.
Crush the hat, yeah.
I mean, it felt like he almost did for a second, because it was like he gets attacked by Damian Priest at the end of the match with a nightstick. Dominik Dijakovic runs Priest off, gets the belt, and goes to give it back to Lee as like a sign of respect. Mm-hmm. Lee, not knowing who attacked him from behind, picks up Dijakovic and just hits the spirit bomb mm-hmm. and then walks out to rapturous applause. But it's still just like,
Didn't see that one coming.
I smell a feud restarting.
Right? Yeah, I'm super pumped for this. I thought this was a really effective angle to set up a triple threat for TakeOver, which is going to probably be Lee, Priest, and Dijak. Mm-hmm. It seems like the way they're going, I don't think Cameron Grimes is going to be involved.
No, I think it's going to be big guys who fly.
Exactly, yeah. And I think that is... This was Cameron Grimes' shot at the North American title. He got beaten clean, so kind of back of the line for him. I don't think he's going to be involved in this. It's not going to be a fatal four-way. It is going to be those three. And I thought this was a beautiful way to set it up, because now Lee has beef with Priest because he attacked him from behind. Dijak already has history with Priest. And now Lee has tons of history with Dijak. And now Dijak now has renewed beef with Lee because Lee attacked him for basically no reason.
Yeah, exactly.
So now they all kind of hate each other again. Mm-hmm. It's a masterful way to set up a triple threat. And I think it's going to be a bloody fantastic match,
exactly.
too.
Exactly. The match I'm most excited for, though, and the match I wasn't really into the heel turn with Johnny. Mm-hmm. I wasn't massively into the promo of Mauro last week. Mm-hmm. I know you were.
I was.
But now I'm back on board.
Yep.
Now, after that final brawl this week's episode, I am suddenly just like, I'm right back on the Ciampa and Gargano train. I want to see them kick the shit out of each other in myriad different ways. Because this week, the escalation of that feud felt like it suddenly got real. And it's a difference that's interesting because they're at their home base in the Performance Center. Clearly, there was much more conversation of like, yeah, you can wreck that, you can wreck that, wreck that, we'll get a new one. Break that, whatever, it doesn't matter. Yeah. Like, when you're at Full Sail, they're clearly like, don't want to spoil the university for the students. But,
exactly.
You know, here it was just like, yeah, fine, we're going to wreck the coffee room. We're going to wreck the meeting room. We are going to put your head through the door of the gym. We're going to spray you with a bunch of stuff. We're going to smash the mirror, which I thought was the really big...
That was a really cool
moment where he chucks the two weights at him and it smashes the mirror as Johnny runs out of the way. Awesome.
Great spot.
But it felt like, you know... That felt like an extra layer of realism to what was already, you know, this is a segment that ended with Ciampa doing the running knee with a chair through a barricade and then air raid crashing Johnny off the weird crow's nest perch thing they use, clearly getting ready for Tampa, and then through the announce table. So like that was already pretty like extreme for a Wednesday night episode of NXT 3 weeks out from the show you're hyping.
Right.
But those little bits of like that door smashed and that broke and this broke and the offices are fucked and they've pulled all this stuff off the walls actually felt like real wrestling to me, in the sense of like these guys really hate each other.
Yeah, and I think it was really well done, because we've seen these bits and pieces of the Performance Center through video packages, and we've seen people training there and things like that. And then just to see them go in, it's pristine. It's all very well made and clean and well kept. And then you see these guys come in. We're gonna smash this door. We're gonna like the weights bars that they have that were all standing upright. They just push them over onto another like set of weights. It's like, this feels like they've just intruded on this space. It was really well done. Even the very first thing that happened, because it started with Ciampa coming out and cutting a promo in the ring. Gargano comes up on the screen. He's cutting a promo from somewhere in the Performance Center. Ciampa's like, I know where that is. I'm going to go find you.
Yeah,
so he goes out backstage and goes into the office. And the very first thing that happens, Gargano pushes a chair at Ciampa, dodges it out of the way, and pushes Gargano into the wall, and the wall just caves in immediately. First thing is like, there's a massive dent in that wall. We're going to need that fixed. I was like, already, I'm like, right, this feels like real. Because this is in an office where they've just wrecked a wall, and then it just escalated. Like, they went to the, you know, the medics. They went to the gym. They went all over the place, smashing and breaking stuff. There was a crutch that got smashed over Johnny's back. Like, it was a fun brawl in and of itself. Just from a a brawl standpoint, it was really fun. But having that extra layer of being at the performance center and somewhere that we've seen be kept very pristine and very clean, and suddenly it's all smashed up and ruined, was great. It added that extra layer, and it felt, like you said, very real.
It felt like the backdrop of those old WWF adverts where it's like, here at WWF, and everyone's flying out of windows
and stuff.
It felt like the exact back bit of that. And they must have people coming in, like, immediately to be like, let's put the gym thing back up. Yep. We need that tomorrow. Like, not only do they have to rebuild all the rings in the main room and put all the chairs away, they've got to now fix all the walls and all the other stuff. Yeah. I just thought this was like, it was so cool to have this brawl happen like that and just spill out. The only thing, literally the only thing I didn't like about it was the fact that Johnny Skyped in from the room next door.
Yeah.
And he was like, this was a dumb idea. Like,
yes.
You know, to be like, oh, Champa, I'm going to, he's like, well, of course I know where that is. Like,
yeah.
I work here too. Idiot. Like, that'd be like you Skyping into this from our office over there and being like, oh, I'm
you
in
don't
a mystery
know where
place.
I am.
Like, that's my desk in the background, Pete.
Yeah, but I thought even despite that, I quite liked the way it was just set up though, because it made, it didn't, from the way I saw it, it didn't make Johnny look dumb, it made Champa look smart for him to know where that is. Sure, I'm just going to come get you then, instead of being like, I think there's several segments on like the main roster, for example, where someone will be on the Tron, quite clear where they are, and they'll be like, grr, they're standing in the ring I will watch you do what you're doing. Or if they're like doing something like traumatizing someone they know, they'll be like, oh, how dare you? It's like, go back there
and find them. Yeah.
Like, yeah. So I thought it just made Champa look smart rather than Johnny look dumb, which I think is a fine line, but I think it came off right. But like you said, super into this feud, super into this match now. Thought the brawl was great. That takeover card is looking really bloody good.
Yeah.
Good God.
And we're potentially getting a triple threat tag match, maybe.
Yeah, totally.
So we've got Undisputed Era faced off against the Broserweights this week. And they almost stole it a couple of times. Cole and Strong get ejected from ringside. They dump Dunne into the crowd. The UE hit the Chasing the Dragon on Riddle, but he kicks out at two.
Which was great. Great near fall.
Grizzled Young Vets come out and they interfere. They clock, I think it was Riddle or Dunne. I think it was
Riddle, Dunne. I think.
I think it was Riddle. They clock Riddle as he like leans through the ropes. Then they get a roll up and that's a close two as well. Mm-hmm. Crazy. And then they tip Fish over into the Vets, and then on Kyle they hit their double finish and pick up the win. So the Broserweights stand tall in the end after like sustaining themselves through basically three rounds of interference.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, it's nuts. It makes the Broserweights look awesome, which means that I think, like, to me, says that it's going to be Undisputed Era and the Vets at TakeOver, because then it's like they don't even have to be pinned to lose the titles kind of vibe.
Yeah.
And also because that would be really fun.
Yeah, totally. And I could actually see Grizzled Young Vets winning it, I think. And they could pin Undisputed Era to do so, to look really cool, to be like, most dominant tag team of NXT history, we just pinned them. But Broserweights still have the beef of being like, we never got pinned, so we really want to get that rematch for that tag
and
title
shot.
And you
can build a solo feud. But then,
exactly.
But then all of Undisputed Era, basic bar strong, are on the takeover card.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. I think that would be a great story to tell. They set it up really well here. I bloody love triple threats as a whole. I think they're great when they're done right. So I'm well in. And yeah, on top of that, and then we've got the women's ladder match.
Yeah.
We've got the Gargano Ciampa match. We've got the NXT Championship match. We're going to have a North American title triple threat. Like, there's so much going on this card that is absolutely stacked, that some people might say. Yeah, you did the point. Yeah, exactly. So I'm so into this takeover. I genuinely cannot wait for it. Fingers crossed it doesn't get cancelled.
Fingers crossed.
Mm. So, Laurie.
Yes, mate.
So, yesterday in the office was a very big day for many reasons. But one of those reasons was because at lunchtime, we did the very first installment of Luncheons and Dragons.
Luncheons and Dragons.
Which is still the greatest name in the history of ever.
You're welcome.
It's fantastic. So yeah, we actually just played D&D for like an hour, just having fun with it.
Swerved the book in.
You did. We'll get to that in a minute. We'll get to that in a minute. It was the first time that Ollie and Andy have ever played D&D. And Adam is not super familiar with it. He's familiar with board games and role-playing and stuff like that, but not necessarily the actual mechanics of D&D. You and Luke are obviously quite well-versed.
Adept.
Adept at D&D. And I was the DM for this one.
Mm-hmm.
So I planned this fun little romp for them to have. It's like, hey, you guys have been given this item. Go and deliver it to these other people. And in the way, there's going to be a couple little obstacles. Fun little things. It's nice and easy. Eases the people in who've never played D&D before to get an idea of how it goes. All I have to do is not open the box that they've been given with the item that's going to be delivered.
Don't give people Schrodinger's box and be like, don't open it. I'm checking there's a cat.
Of course, yes.
Is it in existence?
Almost.
Is it both things?
It dead or alive, some might say. Almost immediately, you said, I'm going to open the box. Luckily, you and Adam's character lost in the contested strength check to make sure that Ollie's character kept the box and said, no, we're not opening it. We've been paid money to go yep. deliver it, so I'm going to strap it to my back.
Stupid paladins.
I know, yeah. He strapped it to his back and said, I'm going to take care of it. Let's go. And as you made it, you got to the first obstacle on your path, and immediately, while everyone was distracted, you said, right, I'm going to open that box now. Which was fantastic. So we had one character going off to try and sort out this first obstacle.
See if there was an ambush.
See if it was an ambush, because there was like some collapsed wall in front of you. Meanwhile, you in the back had just picked up this sword, which turns out is cursed, because that was the punishment for opening the goddamn box that was going to be delivered.
Whatever.
It was this cursed sword. It created this. It was a reskinned shadow demon that I used, and with buff stats and things like that. And then you guys had this massive fight that took up the whole hour of this session, just fighting this shadow demon instead, which was, I thought, very fun.
It's best to beat the boss first, I find.
Oh yeah, the final boss fight,
and then do the level.
Exactly, yeah. But I mean, we've got another installment of that probably next week sometime. Well, maybe not actually, because we're not going to be coming in the office anymore.
Yep.
But we'll be doing it at some point. Well, we've got a part two to that. But yeah, you guys really, really just kind of derailed that straight off the bat.
Welcome to D&D with me.
Absolutely, yeah. But it was very fun.
This is why I'm normally a very antagonistic character who will mess with people.
Yes, absolutely.
And I think my new character is likely to do that.
Yes, very
much so. I'm surprised I didn't, like, I was going to let Andy die as well.
Oh yeah, I know, yeah.
Because he's pretty.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's Lirio's thing. He doesn't like pretty things.
Yep. Because only your patron can be beautiful. Is that right?
Yes, that's right, yeah.
Yeah.
So my warlock, my character is heavily scarred, was heavily scarred in a bit of a love rival battle, and looked for solutions that were magical, non-magical, none of them worked, no creams, no balms, no nothing. And then decided, then snapped in a fit of rage after using magic to make himself appear beautiful again, but lost his concentration while on a date with a woman. She screams when his scars come back out, and he snaps. And they don't have a very good time. and that leads him to into the arms of his patron, who is a fae who's very beautiful, but wants to be the only beautiful thing in the world and therefore appreciated as the most beautiful thing. So drives Lirio to, while making Lirio beautiful as the sort of like the hook, to be like, I will make you permanently beautiful without having to concentrate on it, except when he's using the hex blade, funnily enough, because his scars come back out. But Lirio has realised that that price is probably a little bit high, because now he is very pretty and very handsome.
Yes.
But can't enjoy other handsome or beautiful things because he's compelled to destroy them.
Exactly, yes. And
he smashes mirrors whenever he sees them.
And always smash mirrors. And Andy's character is quite attractive. So yeah, I was very curious as soon as we went around the table and describing characters, and Andy was like, oh yeah, my character's really beautiful, really attractive. I instantly gave you a glance. I was like, uh-oh. This is not good.
Yeah! Not anymore.
That's right, you don't have to kill him. Just make him permanently disfigured.
I just have to disfigure him, it's fine.
Yeah, and that is perfectly reasonable, right? Yeah, well, I'm sure he'll agree to it.
I'm sure there has to be, yeah. I mean, there's probably going to have to be some roles in there somewhere to decide if I've got the willpower to resist what the patron's saying.
But oh, yeah,
I feel
totally.
Like the patron's going to dock my magic otherwise.
Yeah, totally. But then Andy's character nearly died, which was hilarious.
Stupid wizards.
I know, yeah, they're so weak. Because I, as like a final last ditch effort from this Shadow Demon that was nearly dead. It decided to attack the weakest thing, and it managed to get a critical hit. So it did way more than I was anticipating, and it just knocked him unconscious and then made him fail a death saving throw immediately afterwards, which was fantastic.
Here's a question. Here's a question to peek behind the curtain, because it doesn't matter anymore, I guess.
Yeah.
Would Dispel Magic have stopped the curse?
It depends what level you cast it at.
Would level 3 have stopped it?
No, in fact, you guys wouldn't have been powerful enough because you need a very high level.
So I thought it wouldn't have, and that's why I didn't cast it.
No, it wouldn't have.
Quite strong magic. I should have realised that I get to freely cast Detect Magic. So I should have done that on the
Probably should have done that first.
But I was already like, woohoo!
And then I would have been like, there's some really bloody strong necrotic energy going around this sword, just so you know, before you pick it up.
I don't know who wants that, but yeah.
Oh yeah, I guess we didn't say that. It was a sword was in the box.
Oh yeah, and I picked it up
and it was a very cursed sword that immediately spawned the Shadow Demon as soon as you touched it, which was good going. And that Shadow Demon brandished that very sword at you, which I thought was
quite fun. It's just my jam. I just like to wind people up. well, there'll be more stories of Lunches and Dragons when we get through to the next round of that game, whenever that will be. Yeah. But if you are listening to a Wrestle Talk podcast for wrestling stuff, we've got plenty of wrestling stuff, because there's going to be the magazine show tomorrow. AEW is also happening later today. I think that'll actually be out before this, though. Mm-hmm. You've got Saturday with Pete and doing SmackDown. Then we're back on Raw on Tuesday next week.
Yeah.
No also, pay-per-views this week. Thank
God. Yeah, that. If you do want to listen to more D&D stuff, I might be launching a D&D podcast very soon.
Cheeky plugs.
I know. It's very exciting. I'm not going to tell you the name of it, though, because it might be still a work in progress. I don't know. But we did record the first episode yesterday, and it went very well, which we thought was going to be a test run. And then at the end, we were like, that should probably be episode one, actually.
Oh,
so we're gonna launch that at some point. Stay tuned, because it's gonna be good. It's a fun D&D podcast. If you want to hear us talk about D&D, me and my mate.
All right, see you later. Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.